What is up, Raider Nation? Welcome to another episode of Down With The Ship. My name is Maddie Mayhem. I am your host of this fine show here. And with me is my co-host, Sean Carnage.
Yo, yo, yo.
And we have done it, Raider Nation. We have made it to the end of the 2023 football season. I guess you'd call it 2024, like the end of 2024 football season.
It's a damn
season.
Shame, though.
Yeah, you know, it's over. It's always a bummer, especially when it ends and the Raiders were just like that close, you know, this close to reaching the playoffs. But, you know, I don't think playoffs were ever really in the cards.
I think
us.
Our last episode we were talking about, because we missed one, right, Matt? We're down an episode. Sorry about that. But I'm pretty sure the last one we talked about was like there was still a chance to win the division. But here we are.
Yeah, so I think our last episode was the reviewing the Chiefs game. And so the Raiders went into Indianapolis in order to basically play what it amounted to be a playoff game. You know, win and you're in, or at least win and you stay alive, with the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts beat us.
They
beat us fair and square. You know, that little-ass boy, Gardner Minshew, whooped us. Yep. And so the Raiders didn't rise to the occasion. They got thumped. They got eliminated. And then guess what? The Colts got eliminated too by the Houston Texans. So that tells me that we weren't going to do anything anyways. Even if we had gotten into the playoffs, the Raiders we didn't have the offense for the playoffs this year. It just wasn't in the cards.
We weren't built for a long run in the playoffs. If anything, we might have like got one playoff game and then it would have been done. You know, if anything. But like you said, the offense wasn't ready. After that Colts game, I said we didn't deserve to be in the playoffs after that.
Absolutely not. And so the Raiders lost to the Colts, and the playoffs were over. And so we had one last game. The Denver Broncos were coming to town. And if you guys remember, we started the season versus the Broncos in game one. I think that ended up being, 17-16? Like, it was a narrow victory.
And that was seven wins in a row against them the first game of the season.
That's right. And then the Broncos came in also eliminated from the playoffs. Really nothing to play for. I know that obviously the Broncos have this just incredible losing streak versus the Raiders that I think is like the second longest losing streak that one team has versus another team in the league. They hadn't beat us in seven games. And so obviously you would think that Sean Payton would have them ready to play, but something tells me that, I mean, does it really ever feel like the Broncos were putting up a fight at all?
No, I mean, they didn't have much. I mean, neither team had something to play for, but the Raiders were still playing for AP, and it kind of shows a lot about how he's got these guys going, and that's why I thought the Raiders were going to have the advantage that game. And me and you talked, and it was like, if the Raiders lose, it's a better draft pick, you know, and we were both kind of pondering that and wouldn't have been mad if that was the way it went down. But talking to my homie, Vato Vince, man, he's like, hey, I don't know, bro. We got seven in a row. Let's make it eight in a row. I don't want to break the streak against the Broncos, a division rival. And I said, you know what? You're right, dude. Let's go in there and whoop their ass.
Well, I mean, and you make a good point. I mean, obviously, we always want to end the season having done well versus the AFC West. And so now that it's all said and done, we beat the Chiefs once, we lost to them once, we beat the Chargers once, we lost to them once, and we beat the Broncos both times. So at least we could say that we whooped on the AFC West for the most part. And I think that that's along the way to a second place finish in the West, which is, you know, nothing to sneeze at, nothing to shake a stick at. But the problem is still not good enough. And we'll get into the AP debate, that's probably going to be going on for the next 3 weeks.
Well, right now we're looking for a GM. There's a lot of candidates I think the Raiders requested to check out. And obviously they're first going to start with that. But yeah, everybody's looking to see who the head coach is going to be.
Well, and we'll get into that later on in the podcast. Let's close out discussing the Broncos game. So you're right. The Broncos had nothing to play for. The Raiders had pride to play for, and you could see it on the field. I mean, our offense looked great, our defense looked great, our special teams looked great, and lo and behold, the Raiders kicked the shit out of the Broncos. So it was no surprise to me, but I couldn't help but feel like the Broncos were intentionally losing that game, because it is smart to lose that game, because now the Broncos, who need a quarterback, are ahead of the Raiders in the draft. So and I went on the Broncos message boards and stuff. They're stoked that they lost. They're like, we would rather lose and get a quarterback than win a meaningless game. So let the Raiders enjoy their stupid victory. It means nothing. And it really means nothing.
Well, they brought Jared Stidham to the table. You know, the last two games, you know, they benched Russell Wilson, you know, whether it was because of the injury clause and the money or whatever, but they brought Jared Stidham, their backup, in. And granted, he was going against Aiden O'Connell, who was technically our backup as well, but became the starter like midway through the season or when AP took over. And you know what? It almost seemed like they were tanking it, you know? And and we went ahead and got them. I don't know. I feel like some of the Broncos fans might have been happy the streak was over because we could still hold that over their head. But in the end, yeah, they're going to have a better pick, and it's going to be up to us to jump them somehow in the draft and get a quarterback before they do. So obviously the price is going to go up.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Sean Payton knows that he's not going anywhere. So he can lose a game like that and get a better draft pick and get a quarterback that he wants. And you know they're going to get a quarterback because they bench Russell Wilson and Stidham ain't it.
Nope.
Meanwhile, the Raiders, AP wants to win to show that, you know.
He's earning a job.
He's trying to earn a job. So he's going to have those guys clicking on all cylinders. What easy money, man. I mean, if anybody smart would have taken the Raiders and given up the points in that game because the Raiders literally thumped the Broncos. It wasn't even close.
And one thing I did see is the Raiders players, they looked happy. You know, they were happy to be above on the scoreboard, and they were happy to win that game, you know. And I guess as a football player, you put in all the work. You never want to lose a game. You know, you're working all week. You're working all off season, all year, and you don't want to lose. You know, as an athlete, you have that competitiveness. And those guys were happy to go ahead and take that game. It was a meaningless game. We were already out of the playoffs, but that team looked excited to win. And, you know, like I like the new Raider tradition. They were sparking up the stogies for the end of the year. And you know, a lot of those guys aren't going to be here next year, and they were just enjoying the moment.
Yeah, so let's talk about the guys that we think might not be coming back next year. I can think of one off the top. There's no way they bring back Hunter Renfrow. I think we've seen the last of number 13 in a Raiders jersey.
Yeah, they're going to save like $9 million or something I just seen. You know, they got about like $50 million cap or something, and they're going to save another $9 million to get rid of Renfrow. And obviously with the emergence of Trey Tucker, I just don't think there's room. He's going to go and be a great slot receiver at another team.
You know where
year.
He's going, right?
He's going to the Saints.
He's going to the Saints.
You know what? I hope he does. You give Carr his guy back. They'll be happy.
Hey, did you see that? The schedule came out for next year because of the standings, and we play the Saints next year.
And another thing that's cool about winning against the Broncos is we get two LA games. You know, me and Matt are here in Southern California, but we get two LA games next year. It's going to be one against the Chargers and one against the Rams. So, you know, us as Southern California residents, we get a couple of chances to see the team right here locally.
I would almost rather drive to Vegas, though. I hate this stadium over here.
Yeah, SoFi sucks, dude. I'll probably catch one of those games, but SoFi sucks.
Yeah. I would much rather go to Vegas, dude. It's a better time.
A big screen gets in the way. It's dumb, dude. Yeah. Hell with that stadium.
Yeah, screw you, SoFi.
Yeah.
Hunter Renfrow gone, probably.
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is probably gone. And Josh Jacobs, you were awesome. You really were. You were a great runner, but man, you could not stay healthy. And I was worried about the running back position without Josh Jacobs, but I'll tell you what, Zeus basically came on like Donkey Kong the last couple of weeks. I mean, he took over for Josh Jacobs 4 weeks ago. He has now officially run for over 400 yards.
Yeah, it was like 100 every game.
Breaking 200 or breaking 100 yards twice. I mean, that's what you want to see in your back. And so what I think that the Raiders do is I bet you they will draft a running back maybe in the third or fourth round next year, and then have him, Sincere McCormick, Britton Brown, and Amir Abdullah kind of split carries with Zeus, and we should have a pretty good running attack.
Hey, we got to eat our crow, right? Is that what they call it, eat crow? Because me and you were on here before saying Zeus is not the guy. Anytime he got the ball, you just didn't see that push.
Well, he
that
would
Jacobs
hit. He would get. He would go down on first contact. He did not look like an every down back to me. He still doesn't look like an every down back. I know I've heard that he has a hard time picking up blitz blocking, and you know, as a running back coach, I know that that's just an integral part of the position. You can't be an every down back if you can't do that. That's why they bring in Amir Abdullah for a third down, because again, he's like a scat back, but he can block kind of.
Well, he does look like he's got good vision. And then another thing with some of these running backs is sometimes they need time to kind of get the ball rolling, you know. And Zeus, you know, when he had Jacobs in, you know, he'd get a few carries here and there, you know, but he never got a chance to, you know, get that momentum. And so you got him starting and you got him on a full game, and we saw what he could do with that that full load, and I was impressed.
Yeah, Zamir White, man, just he came on, and it was really good to see. Really exciting to see for next year's prospects. I'll tell you, another guy that's going to be going bye-bye is Andre James, dude. The center that the Raiders signed, he was on a two-year deal.
Yeah.
His deal's up. I think that they move Parham over to the center, and they say bye-bye, Andre James. And I'm not sad to see him go. I definitely think he was the weak link on the offensive line.
You think they'll keep Austin Hooper? I mean, with the emergence of Mayer, although he did get hurt at the end of the year, and Hooper was he was serviceable, you know, these past couple of games.
I'm fairly
but
certain.
But he's older.
I'm fairly
he
certain he's still
contract?
Under contract.
He's still under contract.
I think they signed him to like a two-year deal.
Okay.
They need him, though.
Yeah.
They definitely need him.
I mean, we're running thin on tight ends.
Yeah, they'll probably draft a tight end, too. Again, like another a tight end. And of course, as we get closer to the draft, I love the offseason. Like, I'm sad that football is gone, but if you think about the offseason, January, you get all the coaching hires, so we'll find out who's going to be the coach of the Raiders. And then February, you start hearing about the combine, and then all the pro days, and then April's the draft.
When's the free agency?
March.
March.
Yeah.
That's always the big
so
one.
So it's coaches, combine, free agency, draft. And yeah. So the dead period is really May to like August.
The thing that sucks is if you're good and your team's just always winning or whatever, I want the offseason's really nothing to you. You're like, well, we'll probably keep as many people as we can, you know what I mean? Unless you're like at the end of your ropes with everybody and you know you kind of built for a short-term run and then all of a sudden everybody's gone, you know, and that happens to a lot of teams. But I mean, being the Raiders, it sucks that it's been consistently like let's see who the new coach is going to be. And
well, last year's offseason sucked, like, because you knew it was going to be McDaniels, and I didn't have much hope in McDaniels anyways. So I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for the prospects of getting a new head coach, whether or not that's AP. You know, I'll give my perspective on that at the end of this podcast. But I'm excited at the prospect of a new head coach and the prospect of potentially a new general manager. And I'm excited to see if the Raiders can finally draft a rookie quarterback that's going to come in and be awesome. You know what I want? I want a mobile quarterback, somebody that can run. I'm so tired of watching Aiden O'Connell's statue ass back there. I will say, though, did you look at the final stats? He was the second best rookie.
Better than Bryce Young.
He was better than Bryce Young, but he was actually the second best rookie quarterback behind C.J. Stroud, which, of course, C.J. Stroud was incredible.
Well, the thing is, besides the offensive coordinator, he had all the pieces around him to be successful. And our offensive line, it wasn't that bad. You know, Bryce Young had a bad coach and it just had nobody around him. Miles Sanders was a bust. And he had some support behind him, you know, and I think he did okay. I don't know if I would say that he's a starter, you know what I mean? Like, or maybe he's just young and it was his you know, just lack of experience and maybe he just gets better. But you know, I'll take him. He's under contract as a rookie contract. I'll take him as a backup. Or you know, we draft somebody and let him shoot it out. Maybe Aiden O'Connell all of a sudden is like throwing better than whatever quarterback we draft. And you know what? If that's the case, let's let him go.
Well, what you want in a backup quarterback is somebody that can come in and win you games. And Aiden O'Connell has shown that he can win games. So he's a great backup quarterback. That's all we need. Maybe sign a veteran to come in, you know, somebody like, I don't know, somebody else's third string veteran to come in, or draft two quarterbacks, you know, draft a guy late, draft a guy early, and let them all compete and see who's best. Because, you know, sometimes you strike gold with those late quarterbacks. You never know.
One of the things I liked about Aiden O'Connell, and Pierce said it best, you know, he said he looks him in the eye. And Aiden O'Connell doesn't break, you know, he doesn't have a scared look in his face or I can't handle this. He's just like straight faced the whole time. Like, let's go, let's get it. And he could be struggling, but he never gives up. He believes in himself. And I think that's a great quality. And I think that's a reason that AP never pulled him. You know, he got pulled a little bit for the last game because he had a finger injury. So they brought in Garoppolo, and everybody booed Garoppolo. You heard that?
That wasn't fair to Garoppolo.
It sucks because Garoppolo's been like the best teammate, you know. Yeah. But they booed him, and then Aiden O'Connell for a game that doesn't mean anything, he still came back out, and that shows a lot of gut and it shows a lot of character for that quarterback. So I got to tip my hat to that.
He's got a lot of support in the locker room. Those guys really, I mean, they really respect Aiden O'Connell. So he'll be, like I said, he's a hell of a backup.
What do you think is going to happen to Devontae? He's always the biggest trade piece. I heard one of the Jets receivers just changed his number. He was 17 and he just changed his number, and they're like, oh, they're gonna give that to Devontae, you know, and put Devontae back with Rodgers. To me, it seems like Adams is happy here. You know, he's got a voice. Mark Davis listens to him, and I feel like Adams wants to retire a Raider, you know, if he can. But he also wants to win a championship with us. So if the right moves aren't being made, he's going to probably be asked to take off. And we can get into that, like whether you know, the Pierce or Harbaugh, who I think is the second candidate, first candidate, whatever you want to say, is between those two. You know, like, I don't know if that would sway him one way or the other.
I think that if Antonio Pierce gets the job, Devontae comes back to the Raiders. But if they hire Harbaugh, he's gone. And he's gone, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think you trade Devontae for even a second round pick. You package 2 seconds for a first, and then you take your 2 firsts and you move up in the draft to draft your quarterback. And so yeah, it sucks because we won't have a number one wide receiver on the team for our young rookie quarterback. Yeah. But what you then do is in the second round you draft a wide receiver and you let that guy be, or at least try to develop into that. I'll tell you what I like. Having Trey Tucker and Jacoby Myers as our wide receivers, it's not the best. You got Michael Mayer too. Well, that's three weapons right there.
I think Devontae is a big reason that Jacoby Myers had such a good year. You know, it kind of opened the door for him. People had to pay a little more attention. Hey, a lot of people are saying Devontae lost a step or whatever. You're still paying attention to him. Maybe you throw an extra guy on him, and then all of a sudden you see Jacoby Myers thriving. And enough to where you're like, could Jacoby be a number one? But, I mean, I was listening to some people talk, and they weren't putting him there yet. They're like, I don't think he is the number one yet. For sure you get Devontae, you got your number one. You know, but he opened the door for Jacoby to have a great year. And losing him, it's like you want to see, I mean, I'm sure Jacoby wants that chance to be the number one, but I mean, you're going to wonder what happens.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Do you think Puka Nacua could be a number one wide receiver on a team?
I think he could, dude. I've been watching this youngster, dude, all year long.
And you know what round he was drafted in?
Was it like
the fifth round?
Yeah.
So you can get a good receiver. Dude, Justin Jefferson was taken in the second round. I'm pretty sure. So you can get an awesome receiver in the second round. You don't need one in the first. So that's what I do. I trade Devontae. I take, I package, for a second. If you can get a first for Devontae, awesome.
Right? I know, because didn't we give up two?
Yeah. So you trade Devontae for a second or a first, or even a first and a second. You probably won't. No, that's what we got him for, and he's lost his step. So either a first or a second, or maybe a second and a third, whatever. And then you get those picks, you package them to move up and get above. The most important thing is that we get a quarterback above the Broncos. We don't want to take the Broncos sloppy seconds. That's all that matters. That's the problem with having beaten the Broncos. Because, again, they have the potential. There are only three solid blue chip quarterbacks in this draft. Everybody else has questions. So you've got Drake May out of North Carolina. He's awesome. And you got Caleb Williams out of SC. And, of course, the third being Jaden Daniels out of LSU.
Who was in the locker room when the Raiders freaking beat the freaking...
Well, you know why?
Because his attachment to Pierce.
Yeah, he played with Pierce.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, I forgot about that. That would be, like, if we keep Pierce, which it's not what I want, but if we do keep Antonio Pierce, then they need to do everything they can to move up and get Jaden Daniels. Straight up. They need to do everything they can to move up and get Jaden Daniels.
And check it out. Like, the Broncos, like, if we're trying to move up ahead of the Broncos, our biggest trading chip is going to be Devontae. And if the Broncos try to trade up, they're going to have, what's his name? Their receiver?
Jerry Jeudy.
They're going to have, Jerry Jeudy.
Or Cortland,
you know,
Sutton.
And who would you, if they package them, which would be a mistake, you know, then, yeah, maybe. But, I think we got the bigger chip, you know, and maybe that's where the Devontae thing like takes, you know, another chip.
Nobody's giving up a first or a second round for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, exactly. But for Devontae and some other shit, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what sucks, because now we have to outbid them, and as division rivals, man, they're going to go toe-to-toe with that.
Yep.
You know, especially Sean Payton on his second year as a new coach, he's going to want his guy, like you said, and then whatever coach we get, they're going to want their guy. So, I mean, these guys, it could get expensive.
So the issue that we have going into the offseason is the Raiders need a head coach and the Raiders need a quarterback. The problem is the Broncos are ahead of us, who also need a quarterback. They're ahead of us in the draft. And the Chargers need a head coach, and the Chargers have Justin Herbert. We've got Aiden O'Connell. So we are number two in looking for coaches in the AFC West, and we're also number two in looking for quarterbacks in the AFC West, and that's not a good place to be. I think, and I guess we'll get into, has Antonio Pierce, and we won't even talk about Harbaugh yet. That's we'll talk about the coaching search in the next pod. But for this podcast, let's just talk about Antonio Pierce. I know that all the fans want Antonio Pierce, but you have to understand something, Raider Nation, and I'm talking to my brother too, because he's amongst you. Here's why we should really pause and consider whether or not we want to pound the table for Antonio Pierce. Now, I'm going to start this rant by saying that Antonio Pierce did a fantastic job with what was given to him, right? He basically took an average team that Josh McDaniels patchworked together because he's a moron and he can't draft and he wanted to build New England West. He took this team who couldn't beat anybody, looked like shit at the start of the season, and he basically got them to buy into his system, got them to buy into his program, got them to be proud of being Raiders, and he got them to play hard. And we ended the season. He ended the season at 5-4 record, which is above 500, which means he won more than he lost. So, yes, he said all the right things. He came in with the edge. He talked about NWA at the press conference. When he gives his pep speeches to the team after the games, he always started out with the Raiders. You know, he did everything that you're supposed to do in order to get the fan base, get the teams behind you, and that's awesome. But here's the problem with Antonio Pierce. Here's why you don't just give him the job, okay? I'm going to remind everybody of, I think it was 1997, when the Raiders fired the coach that they had, and I can't remember what coach it was that they ended up firing. I think it was Mike White. They fired their head coach, Mike White, and on Mike White's staff was an assistant coach named Joe Bugle. Joe Bugle was given the interim job by Al Davis at the time, and he got the players to play pretty hard for him. They won some games. At the end of the season, the players all pounded the table for Joe Bugle. They said, "We want Joe Bugle. He's a player's coach. He knows what it's like to be a Raider." When they hired him, Joe Bugle said, "I've been a Raider fan. I've wanted to be like the coach of the Raiders. I've admired them from far. I bleed silver and black." Said all the right things. So Al Davis hired him. And then the next season, he went 4-12, and Al Davis fired his ass. Because again, you can say all the right things, and it's easy to come in and motivate your team when you don't have to put together the plan. The plan's there. Now all you got to do is be a rah-rah guy. But when you have to start from square one, when you have to start and you have to build your own staff, you have to build your own team, you have to come up with a plan, when you're in charge of all of that, it's a completely different situation. I'll tell you this, Raider Nation, who is going to be Antonio Pierce's offensive coordinator? Because I'll tell you what, they brought in Adam Gase to be an offensive sounding board for Bo Hardigree. They brought in Adam Gase as a expert, a coaching expert, to help the Raiders kind of fix their offense, to help Antonio Pierce coach the offense. And Adam Gase, if you recall, was a clown of a head coach. He got fired as the head coach of the Jets. He got fired as head coach of, I think, the Dolphins. And he never had an offense above ranked 19. The guy is not a good offensive coordinator. Who do you think that Antonio Pierce is going to bring in as our offensive coordinator if he gets the job? It's going to be Adam Gase. Or he sticks with Bo Hardigree, right? Who is, again, coming from the Adam Gase tree, right? So we cannot let that happen. Now, also, one of the things that should be a little discouraging is Patrick Graham is starting to get job interviews for other teams' defensive coordinator positions,
including the Chargers.
And he's also getting, he was actually, I can't remember what team it was, but one team wants to interview him for a head coaching job.
Chargers.
Yeah. So I'm telling, it's the Chargers, right? So
no, that or the defensive coordinator. I can't remember either way.
Here's the situation. Our defense was awesome, right? So we're going to lose our defensive coordinator. And you think that AP, who has never been a defense, well, I mean, he was defensive coordinator in at Arizona, I think. But, like, he's never been an NFL defensive coordinator before. We're going to leave the defense to him. We are going backwards if we hire AP. I know the players want him. I know he's an awesome players coach. I know he lets them smoke their cigars. But the problem is that it takes more than that to run a football team. It takes more than rah-rah. It takes more than shouting, "Raiders!" or letting your guys smoke cigars in the locker room. Like, you have to be able to be strategic as well. He's still learning. Like, that's why he brought in Marvin Lewis, Tom Coughlin, and Adam Gase to come and kind of help him out, because he doesn't know, because he's never done it before. And we want to give him the keys to the kingdom. I'm sorry. I do not want Antonio Pierce. I love him. I thought he did a great job. The guy will always get props from me, but that is not the guy we need to hire. We need to hire a dude that is a proven commodity in the NFL, that has done it for a while, and that, you know, is going to be able to put together a consistent and a solid coaching staff. I'll tell you another guy that we're going to lose, Carmen Brasillo, our offensive line coach, is already interviewing for other jobs. So we're losing him too. Antonio Pierce is going to have to start all over again from square one, and he doesn't have the connections that somebody like a Harbaugh would have. You know, one of Harbaugh's previous defensive coordinators was that dude, I think it's Mike McDonald, who is now the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, who are the number one defense in football. Yeah. That is a connection Harbaugh had. Right? Wink Martindale, who just quit the Giants because the Giants suck, right? He basically was also one of Harbaugh's defensive coordinators. Like, Harbaugh, and I said I wasn't going to talk about him, but I'll talk about it a little bit. You hire Jim Harbaugh, that is to say, if he is even coming into the NFL, you know he's going to put together a kick-ass staff. You know he's got those guys, right? He's got the experience. He's got the winning record, the pedigree, right? Antonio Pierce basically had some weird shit shit go down at Arizona State and left, kind of screwed some people over there. You talk to my head coach at Pacifica, who, you know, is an alum from Arizona State. He hates Antonio Pierce. And so we can't be so cavalier in just crowning Antonio Pierce the king. Again, Raider Nation, some of you are like, what? What do you mean? Look what he's done for us. You're right. He got us through this miserable season, and I will always be grateful to him. But you have to understand, if we hire Antonio Pierce and we go 4-12 next year, and then Mark Davis has to fire somebody after the Chargers hire, I don't know, Harbaugh, and now we have to deal with Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Andy Reid, who are all at the top of their game. They are all S-tier coaches. And then we have Antonio Pierce, who would be like a D-tier coach, who's never done it before, who doesn't have the pedigree. His ceiling is definitely Mike Tomlin, for sure. Like, if he could be like Mike Tomlin, that'd be great. But there is only one Mike Tomlin. Who else has been like Mike Tomlin? Hell, you could say, I mean, if you look around the league, all of the winning head coaches are offensive coaches. They were offensive coordinators. They were quarterback coaches. They were offensive coaches. Most of the defensive coaches have gotten fired or thumped by every offensive coach, right? Vrabel, who is an awesome head coach, he's a defensive head coach, he just got fired from the Titans.
From the Titans.
Because he's a defensive coach.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to win in this league, you need to have a brilliant offensive coordinator or a brilliant offensive head coach. And we have neither, and I don't think we can get either if we hire Antonio Pierce.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to is it's an interview process, right? So AP is going to have to go in there, and I don't know if it's Mark Davis or if Mark Davis has some advisors too or whatever, but he's going to have to go in there with a plan, you know, and just like politicians, you know, they say they could do this and they're going to do that and this and that. Like Pierce is going to have to maybe get some, like, these guys said they will come with me, you know, like, and I don't know if that's how interviews work or if he's like, I'm going to try to get this guy and I'm going to try to get this guy, or if he's already got to make those connections, call those guys and be like, hey, we're coming, dude. If you get the coaching job, I'm coming, you know? And I agree with you, Matt, like Pierce needs that badass offensive coordinator. So if he's got some like wild card in his back pocket or up his sleeve, and that's part of his plan, then I would like to see it, but we're not going to be able to see that. You know, it's only going to be Mark Davis that's disclosed with what that plan is. One thing, you know, and cause it's proven, like you said, is Harbaugh, he will bring people. You don't know who they're going to be, but he's going to build. That's part of what he does, is build a great staff, you know, and whether AP's advisors that he's got in his corner can help him do that is it remains to be seen, you know. But one thing I'll give him, you know, let's just say Harbaugh does go to the Chargers, and then we got Andy Reid, and then we got Sean Payton. You know, you got those three coaches that we got to go against. And I got to shout out my homie, Josh Ganoa. Me and him were talking the other day, and he was like, you know what? We beat two out of those three guys already. You know what I mean? AP went into our division and actually ran the table with those guys, you know, and you're just going to add one more, Harbaugh, you know, and see what he can do against him. And then he would have beaten them all, you know? And so it might not be as bad as it seems, but you have to have that plan. Cause obviously this team, this defense almost seemed Super Bowl ready. You know what I mean? But the offense was just, it wasn't there, you know, and we had the pieces, but we didn't have the quarterback, you know? So to me, if you're going to bring Pierce in, he better have a damn good plan, and Mark Davis better believe him, and they better be on lock with a good offensive coordinator. And the other thing is, Patrick Graham brought Pierce in. So obviously Patrick Graham's not going to turn down a head coaching job, you know, but he did mention that this is the best players he's ever had. He loved this group. You know, nothing against the Giants, but there was something special about this group. You know what I mean? So if the Raiders can, if they do keep Pierce, you really got to pay Patrick Graham some good money or make him assistant head coach or something like that to try to keep those two together. And just having that connection, maybe you keep Graham. You know, obviously Graham, it's a business, and he's going to take whatever big money is thrown at him. If the Chargers give him more money than the Raiders are willing to, he's gone. It's a business. You know, we're all trying to make the most money we can. You know, but besides that, like, Harbaugh is kind of one of those things where I don't even know what he's going to do, but you know it's going to work. You know, and the thing I liked about him, since we're just bringing him up real quick, is he's done it in short time. You know, Raider fans, we're all like, we don't want to rebuild. You know, like, if Pierce isn't there, all the players are gone. I don't think that's necessarily true. You know, I think Harbaugh, with his proven, you know, record and what he does, I think the players will get behind him. And as long as if Adams is here or Crosby's the main one, if he can get behind that, I think, you know, everybody else is going to jump on board.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I feel like if they hire Harbaugh, you'll probably lose Devontae and maybe Jack Jones. I don't think either one of those guys will be happy staying with the Raiders if Pierce isn't there, but I think everybody else would. I'm going to speak on something you said. You said that this defense is playoff ready, and that reminds me of another point I wanted to make. I would have been okay with Antonio Pierce if he beat the Colts, but he didn't. It was a playoff scenario, and we lost to the Colts, which also tells me our defense is not playoff ready. We should not have lost to the Colts. I mean, they got beat by Houston, dude. We couldn't beat a team that couldn't beat another team that was in the playoffs.
How much did we lose to the Colts by?
I don't remember.
Because if our offense put up more points, then we would have won. The defense would have kept us in that game, and we would have won the game.
But again, you know? it's the head coach's job to get those guys up and ready for that.
It's like the defense has been holding us into games every time, but the offense wasn't putting up points, and the defense was out there a lot longer than they should have been, and I don't know what happens.
It's hard to know how much of the defensive success was attributed to only Patrick Graham or how much of it was Pierce, too, because it's not like the defense was great when McDaniels was here. You know what I mean?
Well, they say that when McDaniels left, Patrick Graham kind of got like an open book to kind of do what he wanted. Yeah. You know, I gotta say it's mostly Patrick Graham that did it. You know, and I've even heard like Pearson, like interviews, you know, he had to tip his cap to Patrick Graham. You know, he almost cried talking about Patrick Graham, I think, you know, and so it's him. He's the guy that you need to keep that defense going the way it is. You know, it took the guys a little bit of time this year to kind of figure out what he was doing. But towards the end of the year, it looked like that defense is running around not thinking anymore. You know, they all kind of knew their assignments and, you know, it was really clicking. You know, and I swear, man, if we were just like one quarterback away to actually put up some more points, we would have won a few more games with Pierce and that quarterback, and we would have been maybe doing something in the playoffs. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know, man. Well,
hey, what do you I got to bring this up, though. Another situation. We didn't talk about it when we were talking about quarterbacks, but what about Justin Fields?
I don't want him.
You don't want him?
He was terrible at the end of...
Think maybe he needs a change of scenery, maybe better weapons around him? I mean, what was the best he had set up over there?
I would rather...
Because then you could draft somebody else that's not a quarterback. You don't got to give up as much. You have your mobile guy that, you know, he's shown what he can do.
Just because you're mobile doesn't mean you're a good quarterback.
But, I mean, he's shown what he could do, and he's still growing as a quarterback. And you have somebody that's got a little more experience in the NFL, you know? I'm not completely out on it. Like, to me, it'd be like almost like a nice... I mean, at least we wouldn't have to overbid for some quarterback. Because here's the thing: look at how much like people overbid for Bryce Young. Look at how much the Panthers gave up for Bryce Young, and look what happened.
Dude, Bryce Young has no support there.
True, but maybe neither does Justin Fields.
And Justin Fields,
you
does.
Know, I'm just saying, like a lot of these quarterbacks that are the top guys in college, you never know what you're gonna get. You know, C.J. Stroud wasn't a lock, but he came in and showed what he could do. And you know what? People were like, "Oh, I knew it." You know, and so that's what I hate about the draft is even first rounders. A lot of times you don't know what you're going to get. And it's like you give up all this capital sometimes you win, sometimes you don't.
I'm just glad that the Raiders pulled their heads out of their asses and moved Tyree Wilson to defensive tackle so we could finally get something for him. Because again, like that was just, it felt like such a wasted pick, but towards the end of the season, you know, he came on. And now he looks like a pretty crucial piece going into next year. I'm actually really excited to see what Tyree Wilson's going to look like next year. So, it's hard to say, man. It's hard to say. But needless to say, Raider Nation, finishing the season at 8-9 was not what any of us wanted. It's another losing season, right? Now we have to go into the offseason and hope that Mark Davis is going to make the right decision. I'm gonna leave you guys with this because this is really what I think is going to happen, okay? Obviously, Mark Davis knows that a large portion of the fan base wants AP. He knows that the entire locker room wants AP, and he knows that if he does not hire AP, everybody's going to hate his ass. So here is what he is going to do. He is not going to hire... As a matter of fact, I would go on record to say this, but I don't think Champ Kelly is going to be our general manager. Because if you get a new general manager and then you say, hey, my general manager is going to pick the head coach, whatever he wants is who we get. This new general manager can come in and then he doesn't have to choose Antonio Pierce. He's coming at it completely unbiased. Now he's going to interview Antonio Pierce and say, what's your plan? Well, look at what I did on the field. That's fine. What's your plan? Who are you going to hire as a coach? Oh, well, Adam Gase. And okay, cool. Thank you. Harbaugh, what's your plan? Cool, cool. And then he's going to hire somebody like Harbaugh or the, you know, the some of these other, like Frank Smith or some of these other names. And everybody, the fan base is going to be like, oh, and the players are going to be like, oh, come on, AP. And Mark Davis is going to be like, hey, man, I left it up to my general manager.
Well, I think we requested an interview with somebody with Harbaugh ties already.
Yeah, Ed Dobbs from the Colts, who we interviewed last year. I swear to God, dude, 2 years ago, before the Raiders made the bonehead decision to hire freaking Josh McDumbass, I was pounding the table for, I read about it. Like, the Raiders can hire Harbaugh, and if they do, Harbaugh wants to bring in this general manager, Ed Dobbs, who is an assistant GM for the Colts. Hire the guy. That's who I want. And again, I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next podcast about, you know, the coaching search and the prospective people that we could hire or even keep an AP. But that is what's going to happen. Now, if they hire Champ Kelly, I guarantee you AP gets the job.
It's got to be.
It's got to be AP. So Raider Nation, you heard it here first. Whoever Mark Davis hires as a general manager is going to tell you who your head coach is going to be. Well, not specifically, because if he hires Dobbs, it could be Harbaugh, it could be somebody else, doesn't matter. But if he hires Champ Kelly, it's probably going to be AP. But he has even come out and said that in the past, he hired the coach first, and then he hired the GM. This time he says, I want to hire the GM and let the GM make the decision. And so that is Mark Davis's way of saying, thank you, AP. You did a great job. It's not up to me.
Yeah, that's a good way to pass the buck.
It's a good way to pass the buck, and the fans can't get mad at that. Fans can't get pissed. Fans can't get mad at Mark Davis. They can't get mad at the new general manager because he's making a completely unbiased decision. So watch who the general manager is going to be. Probably going to be hired within the next week or two. And then we'll be able to truly, intelligently conjecture who our head coach is going to be. Yeah. So again, it is not a lock for AP. I know everybody thinks that it should be, but I strongly implore all of you to reconsider, really think about whether or not you want Adam Gase as your offensive coordinator. Adam Gase. Remember Adam Gase?
Remember the press conferences? Yeah, dude.
He would look like he was on drugs, dude. Like, he was like,
I wish we were on. Hey, you know what? We're going to work on YouTube coming up, but either way, that was the best, dude. The Adam Gase memes were the best,
yep,
dude.
Exactly. Do you really want that guy being our offensive coordinator?
He's as dumb looking as Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Seriously. Claim to fame was he was the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning. Like, how hard is that? That's kind of like Nathaniel Hackett's claim to fame was being the offensive coordinator for friggin' Aaron Rodgers.
And now we know it's like Josh McDaniels' claim to fame being, coordinator for Tom Brady.
Exactly. Whenever you have an awesome offensive coordinator, look at the quarterback and tell me who's really making who look better. Well, that's probably all the time we've got for this episode, Raider Nation. It's been about 40 minutes. I'll probably have to edit this down a little bit, unfortunately. But we had a lot to talk about. And there is, I mean, we're heading to an exciting time in the offseason. So we'll be with you guys along the way. Just because the season ends doesn't mean the podcasts do. We've got plenty to talk about, including coaching search, free agency, draft. You know, we're coming upon almost a year since we've been running the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we were all year long right here. I mean, I think we did almost every game, you know, a couple weeks, you know, we had stuff going on or whatever. But, I mean, the offseason is going to be busy.
I think we started in April of last year, so we're coming a couple months before a year.
Hey, keep sharing it, you guys, and keep listening. And thanks, everybody, again for that. And, I mean, we're not going to be talking about no playoffs. We're not going to be talking about no Super Bowl. But as only Raiders news comes through, we'll be here.
Yep, we'll be here. All right, Raider Nation. Well, this has been Maddie Mayhem speaking for Sean Carnage. This has been Down with the Ship. We'll see you next time. Raiders!